Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. Your host Norris Howard here with Uche Wanneri, former lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars, NFL star. He has a podcast. He's a personality. You can also follow him on Twitter. We're gonna get all into that, but I brought this man here because we wanted to get an athlete's perspective on this world. Now, esports, Uche, first of all, before we get into it, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, man, no problem, man. I appreciate you for having me on. And I'm a gamer. I'm a big-time gamer, always have been. I seen the Street Fighter there in the background, see the Mega Man. Those are things I grew up on, I love. So, you know, I'm excited to be here to talk a little esports with you.
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing I definitely want to get into is seeing how esports has grown. Being an athlete, somebody who has literally played at the highest level of their sport, how has esports growth seemed to you? What has been the most interesting part about seeing esports become more of a legitimate thing?
You know, it's funny. You know, when we talk about esports, I've actually had a number of I have a number of friends who are involved in it. I'm actually friends with the CFO at Turner Broadcasting. They actually have made it an initiative to push more e-gaming. And, you know, I've been in multiple or I've had multiple conversations with them in regards to how the field is just growing, how that industry is just growing. And, you know, it has become an arena sport. It's become something that draws in thousands of people in regards to the audience. And really, you know, there's so many different games that have just caught fire around the world because of it. And that usually is the trigger to bringing that particular title into esports, into e-gaming. And it's really been a very interesting growth, I think, for the industry itself, because now you have rap artists who are getting involved with esports teams.
You got Offset athletes with FaZe Clan, and yeah. And Shaq is an investor of NRG / San Francisco Shock. So you're absolutely mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Drake, yeah. You know, I actually have an associate who is a partner with Drake in the esports team that they run. So it's really catching on in a very fast way, and I think that gaming has just expanded so much in the world, and esports has really kind of focused a lot of the biggest multiplayer titles into a realm that is a hybrid between sports, actual physical sports, and online gaming.
Right.
It's so weird because, you know, guys practice for 10 hours a day, same way we do in football. So they're putting the work in. It's not, you know, it's a grind. It's you know, y'all call it being in the lab.
That's right. Yeah, it's Siege Street Fighter. That's what we call it. You go to the lab. That's a new character comes out, I gotta go to the lab. But, you know, one thing I definitely wanted to talk about is you saying these guys put the work in. You know, coming from that traditional sports background and seeing now that at the professional level, they're doing a lot more, you know, physical training. They're doing bringing in personal trainers, dietitians, and all that stuff. Things that professional sports have been doing for many years now. You know, how does that come off to you as a professional athlete? Because there are some that see that and they say, well, that's ridiculous. And then there are others that completely understand it. When you talk to some of your colleagues and former teammates and whatnot, what is usually you guys' opinion of seeing that happening in esports?
Well, you know, it's part of routine. It's part of the culture that you have to build in order to have your mind prepared and to have your body prepared to go out there and perform when it's time to perform. It's the same kind of thing that we deal with as athletes on the football field. We put in our work during the week in the film room, which is our classroom, and on the field, which is our, you know, that's our workspace. And, you know, how that's not any different than an e-gamer who has to put in that same kind of mental work when they're in the lab, training on their skills, training on their craft. You have to polish that craft constantly to be at the top of your game. And, you know, while we may be doing something physical out on the field in the elements, and, you know, that's obviously a physical kind of challenge to us in that regard, it's still a similar challenge to e-gamers who are in, you know, in these labs and just working for hours on end. That's mentally exhausting. That can be physically exhausting. Carpal tunnel syndrome in the hands, just hours without sleep. These are things that they do to be able to build on what their craft is. And if you're working with a team, then you're obviously working on team chemistry. You're working on building a rapport with the guys that you have to go out with and perform with, because you got to trust and be able to believe that they're going to handle their job when it's time to hit the big show. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities in preparation and in execution. It's just that, you know, the actual playing field is just a little bit different.
Yeah, and you know, I really love that analogy, is that the preparation is very similar and just the field is a little bit different. Because a lot of times when you were explaining this to, you know, folks who may be a little bit unfamiliar, you get to that whole like, oh, but you're just sitting in front of your computer. But as you said, you go to the film room, these guys do the same thing. They go back to the film room, they look at execution, work on team mechanics. These are things that are all very interesting. But one thing that I definitely want to ask about, because to play in the NFL, there's usually a predetermined path that you walk along. You play football in your youth, you get to a good enough high school to get scouted into a college program, and then you usually go to the NFL, one of the few fortunate to get drafted into the NFL. Currently, esports does not really have that structure. Currently, kids are coming out sometimes 14, 15, 16 years old, and entering the field of play. As a professional athlete, knowing that there's contracts, agents, everything to navigate in the professional sports world, do you think that esports could benefit from maybe skewing their players a little bit older and involving the college scene a little bit more, and having their players be a little bit more mature and prepared?
I think that is definitely something that can be taken into consideration. But, you know, before you can actually go that route, there's going to be a process. And I know this is probably not going to sound popular to the people who own these esports teams, but the players have to unionize. There has to be a union. There has to be a collective bargaining agreement that sets the structure for how the league will operate in order for you to have a situation like a draft. Because when you sign these guys right now, these are just basically independent contractors. These are guys who are being signed to teams. They're being put on individual contracts. They're being given a per diem. They're being given, you know, whatever kind of financial compensation that the owners of those teams deem to be fit. Now, you know, I don't know necessarily enough about the background of what kind of pay structures they get, obviously, but in order to really cement the league itself in a position where it can now set up these different institutions of scouting and looking to create kind of a feeder system from whether it be high school or college, there's going to have to be some kind of structure in work and in their work regimen that has to be set up
And protections and all that.
And protections and benefits. These are all things that are going to have to now cross into the realm of the federal government and what guidelines they have set forth for unionization and the rights of the players. And I know that that's something that owners of esports teams are vehemently against right now, because that puts, you know, that regulates them. But in order for, I think personally, in order for esports to take that next step where it can literally sit amongst the major sports leagues as a bona fide, structured, ground up, you know, sports league, it is going to have to cross that bridge in order for it to get to that point.
Wow. And again, you know, that's the type of insight that I think, you know, being a professional athlete and coming from a sport that has, you know, an 80-year lineage, that's had the time to 100-year lineage now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It turned 100 years old last season. You know, you have this 100-century-long lineage where a lot of these things were talked about, and unfortunately a lot of players had to, you know, bear the brunt of a lack of some of those protections in more ways than one. But I think you're absolutely correct. And one of the things that I think it's very interesting, especially as we talk more about the collegiate esports space and where it fits within the esports ecosystem. A lot of people are talking about this path to pro sort of pipeline or idea, and not very many have brought up unionization as a part of it. And I think it's a very poignant point, and one that maybe more teams need to think about. But the last question I definitely want to ask, and it's a very interesting one. Traditionally, electronic versions of physical sports, as esports, are not performing as well as, say, a League of Legends or Dota or Counter-Strike or anything like that. Why do you think that is, considering that the NBA has the 2K league, considering that multiple NFL teams have shown interest or investment in esports organizations? Why do you think that aspect of esports has not quite caught on like the rest of the industry?
Well, you know, to be frank, I think that the vast majority of e-gaming, esports, is centered around a team atmosphere. This is where you have multiple people working together against another team of players that are working together. There's a level of chemistry there. There's a level of coordination within the games that they're playing that, you know, draw more excitement than what you might see in a game that's one guy versus another. Now, you might look at it and say, well, what about a game like Street Fighter? That is probably one of the most popular esports tournament games in the world.
Yeah.
Well, Street Fighter is a little bit different. Street Fighter has a lot of intricacies and nuance to it that you have to take years of mastering in order to compete at those high levels. And the ones that do compete at those high levels, these are guys who travel the world to play. But with single player sports games where you have one guy playing against another, it's harder to really gravitate towards those games, because it's one player controlling many players. It's not each individual, athlete being controlled by a player with a controller. So now you're at the mercy of the computer,
the AI,
AI. And that is tricky, especially if your game is not very well programmed, like a game like Madden. Madden is, for lack of a better word, a terrible football simulation. It does not simulate football in any way whatsoever. Right. It's realistic.
Right.
I've done a number of breakdowns on my YouTube channel with guys like Ryan Moody 21, guys like Soft Drink TV, I've actually broken down plays in Madden as if it was a football game. And none of it made sense. It didn't make sense who they were blocking. It didn't make sense where they were trying to go. It didn't make sense why they would allow certain players
because these games are programmed by people who have never played,
who have no idea about the concepts of football. Now there might, you know, and to be fair to Madden, Clint Oldenburg, he was a former offensive lineman in the NFL. He has an understanding of football, but still, You know, he's not a guy who played a ton on the field.
Right.
So, again, there's still a degree of separation between understanding how those concepts work on the field and understanding what they look like in a playbook. Mm. Completely different. And, you know, until there's a situation where you have a sports game or a football game at the least that can actually encompass real NFL concepts in its programming, it's going to be very hard to make anyone feel excited about playing or watching those kind of things happen. Yeah. We saw what happened with Madden Bowl. Madden Bowl was a disgrace. That was a disgrace. I swore up and down that EA Sports was going to lose the NFL license and my beloved NFL 2K would return because that was a championship game of the only licensed NFL football game on the market that allowed for the champion of their online gaming tournament to go through the entire tournament without throwing a single pass. And he had his punter as the quarterback. And he ran one play out of a formation with a receiver who was substituted by offensive linemen and was allowed to run these plays. And I was watching the finals like...
It was ridiculous. Again, something...
football. This is literally someone who found out how to break the game and he's breaking it in front of the people who made it and he's going to win a championship and money. This is ludicrous. This is an insult to the sport of football.
Oh, and, man.
You know, I took that personally because, you know, as an offensive lineman, as a professional football player, to watch something that you say represents the league I played in as a simulation sport to my very face in this manner, it is disrespectful.
It's a disgrace.
So for me, I lost a lot of my confidence in the ability of a company like EA Sports to handle Madden and handle professional football after seeing that tournament. And that's a big reason why people won't, on an international level, definitely would not buy into a sport that is not controlled by everyone having a controller that controls a player.
And to that point, again, you know, we spoke very earlier before we went live. I'm a big soccer fan. I like playing FIFA, but FIFA is not an accurate representation of how things work on a soccer pitch. I mean, for some reason, wing backs just don't make sense in FIFA. You might as well never use wing backs. Don't run a back three because just run past everybody. It doesn't matter. Uche, thank you so much for joining us at Checkpoint on Campus. We got to have you back, man. We got to have you back. You're awesome.
Absolutely.
Especially anytime. To talk about Madden, because that is one of the most well thought out and accurate takes on Madden I've ever heard. And completely confirmed some of my biases, but I digress. Thank you so much for joining us once more.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And where can we find your podcast?
You can find my podcast. It's on. You can look up Lyman Life podcast. That's on Spotify. It's on all of the podcast platforms: Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. Also, my YouTube channel is where I actually. That's where I film it. You know, because I do video and then I upload with audio. My YouTube channel. Just look up my name, Uche Wanneri. You'll find my channel on there. Subscribe to my channel. Check out my videos. I do a lot of offensive line breakdowns for you guys who are on Madden all the time. You can check out and see how it's really supposed to work in the NFL. So you understand exactly why Madden doesn't block a linebacker on a run play when it's right there in front of the guy. So, you know, you can find me there. I'm online on Twitter, Chukwu77, Chukwu77. And you can find me also on Instagram under the same name.
Thank you so much, Uche Wanneri, podcaster, former NFL player, and you know what? Great guy all around, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
for joining us, and we are going to have more from Checkpoint on Campus.